Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
A colossal monster tearing through the streets. A city in ruins. Nowhere to hide. Until he finds a way out behind the wheel of the all-electric Toyota CHR. Instant torque, getaway handling, and immeasurable wow factor. John Cho stars in Escape. Experience the thrill. Test drive Toyota's new all-electric family at your local dealer. Toyota. Let's go places.
The Furt Show.
We all pretty much know what Ask a Race is now. So 404-741-Q100. If you are a white person and you've always wanted to ask a black person any question, I mean, everything is on the board here. There is no such thing as an ignorant question here.
Because we're going to set aside getting upset about
right.
it so that we can actually get answers from each other and understand each other better.
White people call up, ask black people. Black people call up, ask white people. 404-741-Q100.
I have a question for white people.
White person asking a white person.
Okay.
No, I have a question for black people and Brandon.
Thanks a lot. Does that bother a black person who, right there?
Yeah, a little bit.
It does?
Yeah.
When he doesn't like.
Well, then don't sing along to Train in studio.
We play the same 15 songs. It's either Train.
You can't help it.
It's either Train or Kesha.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, is there a, I don't think paranoia is the right word, but is there a sensitivity, do black people acknowledge that they might be too more sensitive to race-related issues than need be sometimes? And I'll give you the for example. It was when Jessica was in here on Friday, and she was talking about driving down to
College Park
to go to the sale for the towels or whatever.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how she had the loaner car because her car was in the shop and there was no navigation. And at some point she said she was freaked out because she didn't have any navigation.
Right.
Down there.
Because she was freaked out because she didn't know her direction.
Mm-hmm. She's
but
like,
she
I
was
did...
doing it in College Park.
And there was the College Park. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, you know, that's why I made a joke, like call Carl and he'll meet you at Cascade, the roller rink where, you know, whatever. And somebody made the observation to me that they couldn't believe a black person said, I couldn't believe she admitted to being freaked out in College Park. And I had to think about it. And then I realized what she said was she freaked out that she didn't have navigation.
And didn't know her way around. She would have said the same in Alpharetta.
Had nothing to do with the neighborhood.
Right.
And so I started to think, I'm like, is that, because that's a tough way. I understand it. You know what I mean? Like,
what exactly is your question?
Is there always a racism or a prejudice, like,
is there the
flag that always flies on every play?
I wouldn't say
like
no.
If you don't know the person, like, is that always like maybe the first thought?
If you don't know the person, I would say 98%, 99%, because you're always wondering what they're really thinking, what their underlying
white person.
Exactly.
Really?
Because you really not knowing really, because not everyone is as friendly as approachable. So I think it's kind of always it's always in the back of your mind.
Hold on,
like,
so
what's the real angle?
This is pretty deep right here. So what you're saying is anytime that you meet a white person, you got to wall up immediately until you get to know them because they're white?
No, anytime that I meet a white person, it's almost like, am I being judged by you?
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Every single time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you don't know where they're coming from.
Right, definitely.
So you have to build
a
wall.
Lot about you.
Well, Jessica was coming from Sandy Springs, which means you can understand why she was nervous in College
Yeah,
Park.
We know Jessica, so we knew there wasn't any...
But right. if you didn't know her and you overheard that thought, your first thought would be, oh, she's freaked out to be
part
a college
of definitely.
Part
you know what?
That's
I had a guy, shocking right there.
I had a guy ask me, and he was in the Greenbrier area. He asked me, was it cool to go over there as a white guy? I said, man, why? I mean, why wouldn't it be cool? He said he thought he would get snatched out. So we understand that, and I wasn't surprised. So I understand that that's kind of common, that they act kind of, you know, white people kind of act kind of more scared. And I understand it's all kind of reasons why, but it is... It's common.
Enter Natalie.
Yeah, Natalie went in on this. Natalie is.
Oh, producer Natalie. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's right.
Producer.
That's right.
No, it depends on the person. Like, if you don't know the person, you're wondering, you know, where are they coming from? Like, one guy, he said, here you go, girl. Now, if it had came from one of my girls, that would have been okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, a white guy, I don't know you. Why are you calling me girl?
Right.
And sorry.
It's so deeply embedded, man. I mean, it's so deeply. We get it from our father, our parent. When we get it, so it's there. So we can't deny it.
Does it get better, though? Mm-hmm. Like, do you see, like, do you think your kids will be less sensitive to that than you are,
definitely,
and then their kids? So it is getting better with time.
I
but
see
it's
the change.
I hope so.
I definitely see the change, especially with the younger, like my nephews and my kids and everything. It's definitely different. They're not even really as aware of all the issues as I was. And we're just talking about 10-year difference, really.
Mm-hmm. I'm really surprised by that. Every time you meet a white person, you're always sort of asking where they're coming from.
It's not really a conscious thing, like, what's your angle? But mm-hmm. It's almost like it's 50-50, you know. It's
we
there.
Have to earn your trust. Mm-hmm.
It's there, definitely. Wow, okay. Definitely.
All right. Well, how about a question?
Because
for white
we
people?
Know that you have to earn our. We know that we feel that we have to prove that we can be trusted to you. That's kind of what it is too.
Okay.
So.
Huh. Okay. Abby. Carl, you have a question for white people?
Yeah, man. Good grief. Listen, I was in the
Hey, I didn't preface my question.
Check this out.
Now, he's which one do I go to? I got a list of 400 here.
Now listen to this. I was in the line the other day, and this guy was right behind me, and he was like right on my heels.
I saw this.
So I'm thinking, like, dang, dude, would you give me an arm length? Give me one arm's length of space. So my question is, why do white people feel it's necessary to be like in your comfort zone, like when you talk to them? Like,
you mean talking to, or were you in line? What was the situation?
Physical? You mean like close to you? Or?
Yeah, physically, man. I mean, I turned around and could have kissed the dude. And not just him, but
is this the guy you sent the tweet about?
Yeah.
Because he said every time we'd move up one person in line, this guy would move up one and a half persons.
Yeah, well, you don't want people to cut if it's in line.
Well, no, that was just in line. That just made me think about this question. But just in general, when I'm speaking with a white person, people that I don't even know, they're like, Mike to... How close this mic is to my face? it's my comfort zone, man.
Yeah, white people are close talkers.
Really?
Yeah, they are.
Really?
I never noticed that.
I don't feel like that. I think it's just some people are like inching closer to you, but I don't think that's everybody.
That's funny.
Have any of us done that to you?
There's been some uncomfortable conversations.
Who's
a close talker?
Now we all cool now, so it's cool. I can kind of like push your way. But it's been a couple times, you know, I felt like a piece of... DNA, you know. Like, come on now.
Salespeople.
Oh, that is funny. Hey, Amy, good morning. You are on Q100. This is Ask a Race.
Good morning. I have a question, and this is for black people. Why is it when they drive, they kind of lean down in their seat and kind of slump over to the left or the right a little bit?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question.
Because we're cruising, baby. We're just cruising.
You can barely see
we're comfortable.
You can barely see over, like, the dashboard. Down.
We're comfortable, though.
But is that like a sign of being cool or what?
That's cool. That's all it is. That's just cool. I knew a guy that drove, his hair was out the window. He was so cool.
Because
so
he was leaning?
Yes. He leaned so hard to the left, he would drive with his head out the window.
Was he like biting at the air like
that
a dog?
That was his thing. That was my man Louie.
Why?
Louie drove with his head. Because he's cool.
Looks silly.
That's too, to you?
Carl leaned.
Producer Natalie.
Now, when white people drive with their feet out the window, that looks silly.
Yeah. You know what?
Why do white people have to put their feet up on the dash with no shoes on?
That's true, man.
That has socks.
All right, that is, because at least the lean over, I don't know about the head out the window looks comfortable, but there's no comfortable way to put your foot out the window of a car. It's not comfortable.
But white people do
why
it.
Why do black people walk so slowly? Especially if you're crossing the street.
That's why we're so close to you. We're like moving along.
The thing is that, I mean, there have been times where I am not at a stoplight. I'm actually cruising the same speed, and if somebody's crossing the street and I have to slow down for them, and then they give me a look as if, you know what, it's my street. I'm just asking, why do black people... Right. Go so slow.
You know what I noticed is now that's a cool thing. I thought it was a cool thing, but it just took it to a whole new level when I went to Jamaica and recognized that I thought it was an American thing, but I went to Jamaica and realized that no black people over there were moving fast for anything. So I think it's
nobody in Jamaica is moving fast, and it has nothing to do with black, white, it has all to do with green.
Man, so I'm thinking it was just a cool thing, you know.
For me, it's when I lived in New York, I used to see people get angry like that, and I used to walk slower just to make them mad.
Yeah, it's almost like black people are daring white people to hit them in the middle of the street.
Yeah, it's
man.
Like
we have unresolved issues going back to slavery.
You're sensitive. Slavery is long gone, but you're sensitive to us judging you, but then you're so defensive about. I don't understand the obsession with being cool. I don't understand it.
Natalie's not defensive. She thinks it's all hysterical. She's like, why do y'all walk slow? She's like, because we can.
Get it. The Bird Show.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
You're on The Bert Show.
This is my favorite segment that we do on the radio.
Because we kind of let it go. We let go of all of our sort of defensiveness and anger and just ask some questions about race.
We call it Ask a Race. And if you're white, you call up. You ask black people a question that you've always wanted to ask and vice versa also. Here is Krista. Good morning. You're on Q100. Hi.
Hey, good morning. Love you guys. Hey, Carl. Stay positive.
Yeah.
Quick question. Why must you know where I work when I don't even know your name? I don't know anything about you.
You said this before.
I said the same thing, girl.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, we've brought this up before. It's I think that white people just think that that's part of how we get to know each other. I mean, so we ask, white people ask other white people just as breaking the ice. There are a couple of questions. Yeah, where do you live? What do you do for a living?
No, always the first question. Hey, what do you work? Right. Well, how about you? You know, stop. That's an inappropriate question.
Well, inappropriate.
You don't even know my name.
Well, I think work sort of defines who we are as people. So that's just the question that is common to ask because that's a big part of our lives and that's what's going on right now.
Didn't you say before, Carl, that you think that white people are just too nosy?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, not just nosy, but just inquisitive is the word that I use. Very
too
inquisitive.
Too many questions at the beginning?
Way too many. And for instance, say if we meet each other. Hey, what's going on? My name is Carl. Bert would say, hey, Bert Weiss. First and last name. Right. I don't ever get my last name. I don't think y'all know my last name.
Why is that, do you think?
It's just, we're just more personal.
More private.
More private.
So what's the beginning? If you don't ask questions, what would, a polite conversation would start with what? Like, there has to be, so what would be a good first couple questions?
I think down here, a really good icebreaker is where you're from. That's how I always start
anything. So many people
anything.
Are from, not right. in Atlanta.
Exactly.
All right, so after that, so now we've just killed 1 minute, then what do you ask?
Where do you work? Where do you live? How much money do you make? What kind of car do you drive?
Like if you and Brandon, let's say two black people, were just hanging out for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
After the first 30 seconds, what do y'all talk about?
Well, Brandon will only talk about sports, so it doesn't matter. Right. Brandon's a bad example.
Are you not, you and Natalie? You just met.
Well, anybody. I mean, another black person, what do you ask?
Well, Brandon wouldn't be talking to Natalie because she's a girl.
Go ahead, Natalie.
Come on, Brandon.
Well, it depends on where you are. Like, if you're at a charity event, you probably talk about the charity or the auction or something like that. Whatever's going on around you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then get into the personal stuff.
So nothing deep immediately.
Right. Not immediately,
What
no.
would you say? I would say at least 10 to 15 minutes into the conversation before you start getting into personal questions.
Yeah, about your family.
At least.
That's just all in your pocket.
We just dive right in. We do,
Next time I meet someone, I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to see how long I can go without asking them where they live. What they do for a living.
I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to ask more intense questions like, can I see your social security number?
Can I hold your credit card for a minute?
Good morning, Lisa. You're on Q100.
Good morning, guys. I love your show.
Thank you.
I have a question for the African-American race. I've always noticed that when I'm out in the store or restaurant, I see black people greet each other and start up conversations like they all know each other, but I know they don't because I hear them exchange names and ask each other where they stay, and I see it happen a lot more with the men speaking to the women.
It must be in an area where there's no black people. Is that true?
No, it's not, because there's several malls I've been to where I've been a minority, and it's happened.
So you feel like black people, when they greet each other, even if they're strangers, greet each other like they know each other.
We're cousins.
But white people don't do that. You see a stranger in a store, and you just sometimes ignore them.
Yet they won't ask each other what they do for a living or what part of time they
Don't be too personal with me.
Are black people, like I know you. Okay, let me scratch at the surface of this. Are black people inherently more bonded with each other because of your skin color than white people are?
I don't think it's the skin color. I think it's just what we've been through. I think we feel connected because of what we've all kind of been through the same struggle, kind of per se, you know. So if I was to see Brandon in a crowd of white folks, I would try to make contact with them. Like, yeah, what up, dude? I'm with you, man. You're not by yourself out here, you know.
But see, that's no different than a traveler going to another country and running into an American.
Looking for something in common.
Yeah, like if you're in the middle of, you know, like a whatever, a tiny little town in Germany, and you hear somebody in the corner speaking English, like you immediately go over to them.
Seek them out. There's
a connection.
Carl, you got a question for white people.
Yeah, I had one. Now, I think I know the answer for this. Y'all, when it comes to licking in the face, it has to be a reason why you let your animals lick you in the face.
I don't either,
but I know a lot of white people that do on the lips and stuff too.
Yes, right in the mouth.
No.
Now, I think I found out why.
Why?
I'm in dog training right now, and the dog trainer says that dogs associate you. They greet the pack leader by licking you in the face. So when we were leaving the dog training, before she left, she said, give mommy a kiss. And he let her lick him in the face. So she said she does that to assert her alphaness in the pack or whatnot. So I thought, okay, that's got to be the reason why white people let that happen.
Didn't we establish last time that like black people in a lot of ways have a higher standard of cleanliness than white people do in some ways. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about the dog licking last time, and there was something with a spoon or something.
Like that germophobia, like sharing food. Like they don't share
rinsing
food.
Off your silver. In restaurants.
I dropped my fork. I should drop my silverware in the water.
That's right.
Before I use wipe
mine.
It off.
Yeah, I had a coworker. We all went out to happy hour, and I don't know why. She just grabbed my martini and took a drink. She's like, oh, that tastes good. And she just put it right back.
White person.
White person. And she's like, are you going to drink that? I was like, no, I'm not going to drink that. I need another one.
I don't even share spoons and forks with my family.
Really?
Yeah. If like we're eating something and they don't want the rest, I will go get my own spoon or fork.
What is the deal with pork? It seems
It's the other white meat.
That's the problem.
It seems like there's a large amount of black people that have, really strong feelings against pork.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
A lot of people that I know that do that is religious reasons and because of just health reasons, really. I mean, it's nothing like just, I think you, at one point, you're just giving anything. And at one point, we become, not just black people, but anybody, you become conscious about how you've been living your life, how your ancestors lived their life. And you become conscious about it, and you decide to make a change to divert from what you thought was a healthy way of living. So it's just a matter of just becoming more conscious of what you were before.
White people turn to being vegetarians. Black people just cut out pork. We like chicken and beef, so we're not willing to give that up. So
that's a smarter way to go, right there. Totally. Right.
A life without bacon is a life I cannot live.
Me neither.
No,
I'm with
I don't
you.
Get it.
Don't get me wrong. I miss pork chops.
They're good.
Here is Jay. Good morning. You're on Q100. This is the Ask a Race segment.
Hey guys, love the show. My question is, why does African Americans get tattoos if you cannot see them?
Why do black people get tattoos if you can't?
I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to say that.
You can't say that. So the question is, why do black people get tattoos if you can't see them?
You know what, Jay? That's a good question, man. I know a guy that has a tattoo of a Daffy Duck. You know, Daffy Duck was a black duck.
Oh,
and
no.
Dude is real dark. So he has a picture of a Daffy Duck smoking a blunt. So I don't. Only thing you see is a red fire. I don't know. I don't know why he did. That's the same
Do
question.
Any of you guys in here have tattoos?
Uh huh. You can see mine though. It's green on.
Where's your tattoo?
Caramel Brazown.
You should have just before. Carl's got a butterfly in the small of his back.
You can see tramp stamp.
Yeah.
There it
see
is.
It, right.
Oh, yeah. I can see
that.
Yeah.
I keep seeing you guys snicker when anybody calls up and says African American.
It's funny because the last lady said African American, then she said black. So she was trying. What's funny to me is that she was trying.
We don't know what's politically correct or not.
Right. It seems like the politically correct term changes every couple of years.
Yes.
Like it goes from African American to black to. So I think white people are confused.
Yeah, because Jen pulled me in when she was doing her commercial and asked me, you know, what can I say? It's like black, African American. But some people are offended. So you do have to be careful, unfortunately. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because I wanted to talk about the differences between white girl hair and black girl hair. And I was like, I can't say that because somebody's going to be mad at me for saying black girl hair, you know, but we do have different hair, right? Like our hair is different. Like there's, you know, a difference in coarse level or whatever, but this treatment I was talking about works on both. So I was like, how do I say it works on both without being offensive? And Nellie goes, you can't.
And the reason is
don't talk about it because you'll offend somebody.
And it's not anybody in this room that we're concerned with offending. It's our parents because they don't know. They're still stuck in, you know, 10, 15 years, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. So it's like
sticking with the hair thing here. Here's Michelle. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. Love the show.
Thank you.
I have a question for the white ladies really in the room, and it's kind of related to what Carl said about personal space. Why do white ladies feel the need to touch black women's hair, especially when they have braids or twists? They come and say, oh, how pretty, and touch, touch, touch. You know,
same thing for black guys, too.
Yeah, not just black ladies' hair. Yes. I've had my hair touched by many white people that work here.
Oh, really? White women will come up and touch your hair?
Yeah.
And say what?
Interesting. I don't know
what
the answer
Jen just
to that.
Said. Interesting. I mean, that's what they would say. Ooh, no, I'm saying that's what they would say.
Right.
Ooh,
I'm saying it's interesting that they would do that.
Like you're an exotic dog or something? Like, oh, look at this one.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't do that, so I don't know the answer to that question.
So randomly, people you don't know will come up and touch your hair?
Yeah. And that's violation, right, Natalie? Like, you don't touch a black woman's hair, period.
Why?
Natalie. You just don't touch people, period. I mean, someone that you don't know.
But why don't you touch a black woman's hair?
I mean, they put so much time and effort into it, man. I mean,
I don't even let my sister touch my hair. It's like, I mean, I do so much to it. It's like, why are you touching me?
To do what? You put
she,
so
she
much.
She just wants to stroke it or she wants to comb it.
But
it's like
what
I've
do you
already
do?
Like,
you're saying it takes you hours or whatever to get it right.
Right.
And then you don't want
like
anybody.
Half hour, 40 minutes, and you're coming in just twirling my hair. Why?
There's a lot of white people that have no idea what a black woman has to go through to get her hair straight.
Right.
Most white people don't have
Didn't
any
Chris
idea.
Rock
I had no idea.
Yeah, it takes half a day, so we don't need you touching it.
A lot of us guys have no idea.
How long does it take you to do your hair, Carl?
I mean, I shine-ish. Yep.
All right, Carl, give us one more for white people.
All right, this is the one now. This I wanted to wait till after 8:30 for this one. Now, this one, I can say this one may be a little ignorant, but I just wanted to know because it affects us both. I had a buddy of mine, the white dude. Every time he went out, you would always hear him make comments about women. Guys, we always say what we would do to a woman when we... You know, when we're looking to talk to guys, talk to women rather. This guy would always say, how hungry, let's say,
he's
how hungry
to say,
the woman would make.
Polite way.
Dude said that, ooh, this girl walked by, he said, man, I'll make a mustache out of her.
Oh!
So a white guy was talking about
Exactly.
South.
Australia.
What's the obsession with that? Dude, he would always say, I would love to do that. He said that before anything else.
See, now white people think that black dudes don't do that at all.
Mm-hmm. We pride ourselves in,
that's not true.
You know, in our master.
Natalie, stepping up.
Yeah. Don't touch her hair, but.
Carl, what were you going to say? That you pride yourself on what?
No, I mean, I think black guys, we pride ourselves on how we can the motion in the ocean. I think that's what we pride ourselves on, as opposed to that's always secondary. So if we can't really, you know, get you there first of all, then we'll try that as secondary. But white guys, white girls, that's always the. That's always primary. White women, too.
I think when white guys are talking about that with about other women, it's saying that they would do more than just the motion, that she's so hot that he'd go down there without no problem.
But this dude, he would say, man, I love just to do that only. I mean, he would always mention that's all he wanted to do. That's all I wanted to do. I'm like, God dang, dude.
I can understand it. I can't answer for a whole race. Just my house.
I'm looking for answers, Bird. I'm looking for answers.
Now it's gotten uncomfortable in here.
Yeah.
Listen, it's the Bird Show.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
This is The Bird Show.
One of my best friends from college was in town last weekend, and we were having such a good time getting caught up and all this other stuff and talking about life in general. And she is in a relationship that's going great. She has a great boyfriend right now. I'm in a relationship that's going great. I have a great boyfriend right now. So we're like, talking about relationships. And
my boyfriends aren't perfect. No, my boyfriends are perfect.
Just excited for each other and sort of in the same, you know, stage of a relationship, right? So, and she's 32, I'm 33. So we both want children, but, you know, that's not going to happen for us until, you know, later. Lots of women have their kids in their 20s. Didn't happen for me. So
until like October. So Jen's thinking.
Anyway.
Right?
Save that for some reason. Exactly. I just think we're going to end up breaking that
we're
out.
We're going to have these damn children by 35. That probably came in there
35?
Too. 35? No.
So, by 30,
34.
By 35. By 35, did you mean Thanksgiving?
So anyway, so we were talking about kids and how we both want kids and whatever. And then we got into that goofy girl conversation. And I know women listening have had this conversation with their friends before. Let's get pregnant at the same time.
That's just really a good idea.
And I don't think it probably is a good idea. But we went through that whole stupid conversation. We're like, oh my God, we're nippy. And so anyway, that's our plan is we'd like to have babies.
She doesn't even live anywhere
time.
Near here, right?
No, she lives on the opposite side of the country.
So what's the point?
I have no idea, but we just thought it would be cool.
So in theory, 404-741-Q100, I'm wondering if there are others that not only had the same thought that you had, but it actually worked to where the two of you guys got pregnant at the same time. Looking back at it, do you wish the timing was off or are you glad that you're raising your kids together? Because I think the idea of it is way more exciting than the reality of it.
Yeah,
I think women,
probably.
I think women in groups do this all the time without talking about it. Like you and like a childhood friend can talk about it. We're going to live together in our backyards. We'll face each other. Our kids can play together. Blah, 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 blah. But I think as adults, it just happens without, because there's the, because, okay, say Wendy, Jen, and myself, all right? So let's say that Jen gets pregnant, you know, because she will soon. And, so let's say Jen gets pregnant and her boyfriend are having this baby. And then I have a conversation with Katie like, well, you know, Jen just had her baby and, you know, we have those embryos in the freezer and why don't we go ahead and do this? Because,
Thumb I mean,
you
out,
know,
throw
and
in
then
the
Wendy, you know, let's say Wendy's in a relationship. She goes, well, you know, Jen and Melissa just had a baby. And because Katie's circle of friends, I'm just watching this from the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
Katie's circle of friends who are her tight friends from work and school, I would say 70% of them have had a baby in the past 2 years.
It's
there
like
are
once
so
one
many
of them
babies
goes
in our circle of friends that it's like a domino effect. And I don't think they had the open conversation, but it is definitely something that women try to achieve, whether it's competitive or not. They it happens.
I could tell you where it could get frustrating. If you guys agree that you're going to get pregnant at the same time and you do get pregnant and then she doesn't.
Or vice versa.
Or vice versa. Yeah. The frustration of watching your friend go through all of that.
Right. And then it's like, can you be happy for your friend if you really want it too? And yeah, I've struggled. There's a friend of ours who has had a tougher time getting pregnant. She's got kids and everything now. But I remember when the other girls in the group were getting pregnant and having babies, they were like nervous to share the news with her. I mean, that's all, you know, that's all over now. She's got kids of her own and everything is fine now. But for a while there, when it was a struggle and everybody knew she was trying to get pregnant, it was like, ooh, do you tell her? Do you not? Do you share your excitement? Do you not? Do you try to, you know, like downplay it?
Here's Denisha. Denisha, good idea or bad idea to try to plan a pregnancy at the same time as your friend?
Me and my best friend from high school, we're 25 now, but it is, I think, a bad idea because she calls me about everything. Is my son doing this? You know, she asked me, is my son doing the same thing her daughter is? And if my son is more advanced than her daughter, she gets upset. Or is it vice versa? It's not a good idea.
That's interesting because I feel like the other pressure in this group of ours is the fact that there is an open conversation about wanting your children to grow up together or to at least be in school around the same time. Or
if there's a boy and girl, you know, my God, they had their first date.
But I never thought about
daughter. My daughter is 5, so we were pregnant at the same time. So she asked me, have I been through this before? And I was like, yes. And now that we're at the potty training stage with with my youngest son and her daughter, it's she's calling me about the same things, and I'm just like getting frustrated with it.
I never thought about the competition. Like, is yours crawling yet? Are they walking yet? Well, are they doing this yet? Are they potty trained yet?
That happens with any parent that you'll run into that has children. You're constantly, at least on the first child, constantly comparing, always. Hey, Lauren, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I'm actually pregnant right now for the second time with my best friend. We had our first child together, and now we're having our second child together.
Mm-hmm. And you think it's a good idea, obviously?
Yeah, you know, for the first time, since we were both first-time moms, we got to bounce ideas off of each other, like, is this normal? And then as first-time parents, it was, you know, is this normal? And then our kids are growing up together. I mean, I've had a fabulous experience with it.
Cool.
Okay, so.
She says do it.
It's sort of half and half. Write it right down. I mean, we could take 50 calls, and 25 would say do it, and 25 say it's a bad idea.
I think it's cute. I think it's something that will bring you guys closer. It's something you can finally talk about every day.
I think that staggered is good. I mean,
you guys are gonna. You should have a joint wedding too next month. Or no, we're already in May. Later this month.
What do you think? Do you think she's not already married? Or pregnant? Yeah.
I bet you got married during Burt's reality TV show, and we're not gonna find out about it until it airs.
This is The Burt Show.
All right, we are in the middle of All or Nothing Trivia.
This is where you have to call up with five guesses, because there's five answers to this trivia question. And Burt's going to tell you how many guesses that you got right and how many you got wrong, but not which ones. So you have to listen closely to the previous caller so that you can listen to the pattern develop. And eventually, once you get all of them right, then you win the prizes that we put in the pot every single day.
I was a little surprised that we actually even got one.
I was too. Mm-hmm. I don't think they meant to get one.
Mm-hmm. It was random.
They just threw it out there. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. All right, so you have to call up with five names, like Jen said. And the question is, these five male celebrities are rumored to be really, really bad in bed. Who are they? All right, here is Melody. Good morning. You're on Q100. Hi.
Hi, yes. How are you?
Hi.
My five choices are Samuel L. Jackson, George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Orlando Bloom, and Kevin Federline.
She is on it.
You are on it.
Mm-hmm.
Give me those again one more time.
Samuel L. Jackson, mm-hmm. George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Orlando Bloom, and Kevin Federline.
No, you don't have any right.
Oh, man.
Okay.
But we appreciate your conciseness and speaking clarity.
It's like she was thinking about it all
right
weekend.
Right to the point.
Yes. She had a list. Let's go.
It doesn't get you anything, but it was cool you did that.
Good morning, Lori. You were on Q100.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, you know what? Hey, Lori, before I even go on, we're adding another prize today. So today, I threw out my piece of paper. What was the prize for today?
I don't know, but I'll know after Lori's done guessing.
We got two prizes in there today. Anyway, we'll find out in a second. Okay, what are your guesses?
Brody Jenner, Spencer Pratt, Jay Leno, Tiger Woods, and Obama.
You got one right.
One.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Tickets to go see Green Day at Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in August has been added to the prizes.
Okay. 404-741-Q100. Here is Taylor. Good morning.
Hi, Brody Jenner, 50 Cent, Russell Brand, Stuart Townsend, and Colin Farrell.
You got four right.
What?
What?
Uh-huh. Whoa.
Someone's been on the internet. Hey, Stephanie, good morning. You're on Q100.
Wow.
Stephanie?
Stephanie's in shock.
Yeah. If somebody calls up with four.
What'd she say?
The internet has really jacked up trivia on the radio. Good morning, Michael. You're on Q100.
My guess is Brody Jenner, Joaquin Phoenix, Seth Rogen, Gene Simmons, Tobey Maguire.
You got one right.
Oh, okay. That's disappointing after we just got four.
So fairly consistent. At least one is coming up fairly consistent there. Okay, so Jen will give you another clue here.
One of the guys on the list is British.
Okay.
One of
the guys on the list is British, and you can add that to the hint that she gave you guys on Friday also. So we're going faster than I thought we were going to go.
Okay? He's British. You won't want to take him back to your flat.
Because he's the worst.
No, he won't be going in the sack. Don't be a bird that he takes to his flat. Okay.
Here, Bird Show.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
The Burt Show.
Hi, Siobhan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing really good. We couldn't tell last week when you left the show if you were really mad or just really upset?
Just a little bit of both, honestly. I mean, it was a surprise to me because I had never been in the bottom three before.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, you have that kind of warning. Most people who've gone, they've been in the bottom three before, and then they go. So it was a little bit surprising, and I really wanted to be there this week for Frank Sinatra, and I've been looking forward to that for a long time because it was one of the themes that we knew about in advance. And so I was just disappointed, I guess, above all.
Was some of the madness based on, sort of like you think you should still be in it, that there are still some people in the competition that aren't as good as you?
No, I wouldn't say that, especially because we're all so different that you can't even compare us, really. It's comparing apples and oranges when you look at all of us, and I think that's what makes this season great. But it is just that disappointment that, you start to wonder, well, what did I do wrong? What could I have done differently? And, if they gave me another chance next week, then I could have proved that I should still be here. But, you can't let yourself think about that because it's out of your hands, and there's nothing I can do now to change it. So you just have to accept it and appreciate it for what it is. And I do appreciate the entire experience very much.
Siobhan from American Idol joined the Burt Show this morning.
Hey, Siobhan, I've heard that you've got tattoos of Hanson and Hole because you like both of those bands so much and they influence you. Why is it that Hanson is so influential in your music life?
I have loved Hanson since I was about 6 years old. I remember the first time I ever heard them. I was in the car with my aunt and I heard Mbop, and it just... something happened. Something magical happened, and I was in love. And... I spent that whole summer with MTV on waiting for the music video to come on. It would come on, every hour pretty much, and back when MTV played music. And something happened that I just loved them right off the bat, and their music is so positive and inspiring to me, and it has always been that. A lot of people kind of, as they fell a bit off the radar and people couldn't get past the whole Mbop thing. I never let go of that. And if you go and you listen to the music that they came out with after that, as they matured and became more talented as musicians, it's incredible what they've done. They've only gotten better, as most musicians do. And there's just something about them being family and the music that they make together that you don't find a lot. Their voices together, it's like they blend perfectly because they're related, and
wow,
their music is just so passionate, and I've always had that, and it's always been something that it's there for me. I knew that if I needed to be in a better mood or if I need to get pumped up for performance or anything like that, I know I can count on Hanson's music to make me feel better. And you can't say that about just any band.
Right.
Have you ever met those guys?
I haven't met them in person yet, and, a lot of other Hanson fanatics might think that that's weak or that that's strange because, there's a lot of people who would wait for hours outside of their tour bus or something like that, but I always had this idea that it was so precious to me that I couldn't be just another screaming girl outside their tour bus. Like, it had to be more special, and I always imagined that when I met them it would have to be just right,
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to start a Hanson tribute band.
I would love to.
Nothing but Hanson songs. You as the lead singer.
That'd be awesome.
It has not been done yet. You have a niche in the market right now. Totally.
What are the name for the Hanson people? Like the,
the fans,
the fan group.
The super fans, like the Claymates of the Hanson.
I don't know. I don't know if there's a name. Hansons, that works.
There you go.
That's pretty good.
Hey, Siobhan, we need a little insight here because we're going to be in L.A. in a couple of weeks, and Wendy here on the show loves Casey James.
I do.
And what we're hoping to do is set her up in an interview, and what we want to do is find out as much about him as possible so she could slyly sort of work these things that we already know that will work with him into the conversation.
Yeah.
So what is it you can tell us about him that would help her in that conversation?
Oh, Casey. He's... he's a funny guy. He's different from anybody I've met, probably. Don't play pool with him.
Okay, why is that?
You won't like him anymore.
Really?
He's so good.
Yeah, he's from Texas, and apparently people from Texas have their own special way of playing pool. That means they're allowed to cheat.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
And the one time I tried to play pool with him, it was like he was playing this whole nother game that he decided not to explain to me until there were about three balls left. And I was like, wait, I thought you were solids, but okay, apparently not. And I don't know. It wasn't so much fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to like him, I advise that you don't play pool with him.
Now, you mentioned him being from Texas. Does he have a lot of Texas pride? Because Wendy's from Texas, too.
I am from Texas.
So is that a connection they could make?
Probably, yeah. He does have Texas pride. You know, he does things that I guess are very Texan. He's always talking about cooking hot dogs.
I can make him hot dogs.
Okay,
hot dogs.
Something
perfect.
Interesting.
Is there special things that he likes to eat on his hot dogs, like ketchup, mustard? Something I should stay away from?
He sure does talk about it a lot.
Really? Okay.
That's really right. Good. You should be able to work that
that's
in.
Perfect. I can bring a Texas flag and a hot dog.
There you go.
All
right, Siobhan, we appreciate your time. We're sorry you're not on the show anymore, but we look forward to seeing you in Atlanta on tour for sure.
Thank you.
All right, Siobhan. Bye-bye.
Take care.
The Burt Show.